Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. I'd like to pray with you before we get started tonight. Father, we do thank you for this wonderful opportunity to study your word. We thank you for the indwelling spirit. We thank you for the power of the spirit in our lives, Lord. It is through the Holy Spirit that we are born anew. It is through the Holy Spirit that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is also the earnest or down payment of our inheritance that we have received in Christ Jesus, Lord. And so we thank you that we also have the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit. And thank you that it is the Holy Spirit that lets us know when we have sinned, Lord, before you. And we need to come before you and to confess our sins according to 1 John 1:9, Lord. So we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be reading tonight from the book of Acts, chapter 20, Acts chapter 20. I'm going to begin at verse 17, quote, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." Now, Luke is speaking about Paul. "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Just think about the things that befell our Lord Jesus in Jerusalem. "Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Now, this is Paul speaking about suffering with Christ. And I'm going to stop here for a moment. Unquote. Paul was very bold about suffering with Christ, and he was not ashamed of this very important scriptural doctrine. Paul never preached name it and claim it. Paul never preached a social gospel. Paul preached the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see his Christology in action. We see the depth and the richness and the power of Paul's Christology, because it was not merely intellectual. Paul's Christology was a vibrant reality in his life. And you see, or one should see in the words that Paul uses, that indeed he had crucified the flesh, according to Galatians 2:20. He had crucified the flesh with his affections and lusts. He had crucified the ego. In Galatians 2:20, the pronoun I that Paul uses there in the Greek, it is the word ego or ego. So let us continue. Verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. I want you to witness and to be cognizant of the of Paul's co-crucifixion with Christ. I want you to witness Paul's co-crucifixion, co-burial, and co-resurrection with Jesus." And please read the book of Romans. so that I might finish my course with joy. He did not say happiness, but with joy. Remember, Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Paul knew the words of Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Please read Paul's letter to church at Philippi. It is Paul's letter of joy, not a letter of happiness. Paul was sorely persecuted for his faith, but he had joy. He had the peace of God. He had the joy of God. He had his life was Christ-centered. His mind was stayed on Jesus. And so he had perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Paul lived these words. He breathed these words. Wonderful, powerful words. So that I might finish my course of joy and the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Very important language that Paul uses here. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul was a complete preacher. He not only preached, he didn't preach his favorite portions of scripture. He preached the entire counsel of God. I should say he taught the entire counsel of God. He was well trained. He was appropriately trained. He was wonderfully and profoundly trained to teach the word of God. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, not some of the flock, but all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To feed, that should be to shepherd the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts 20:28. Feed the church of God, shepherd the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Why was Paul so serious? Why was his language so deep? Well, let us read on. Paul writes in verse 29, for I know this, for I know this. And so the pronoun I in verse 29 is in the emphatic position in the Greek. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Please read the book of Zephaniah, where Zephaniah talks about evening wolves and roaring lions. And Jesus talked about wolves in sheep's clothing, who will come in. And so, very important language. I know that after my departing, note the activity, note the stealthy nature of the wolves. When the powerful shepherd is there to protect the sheep, he will not attack. When, however, the shepherd departs, when the strong shepherd departs, this is when the wolves come in. The language is deliberately or has a deliberate picture for us. So enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I command you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. very wonderful, powerful language, very deliberate. Paul was trained as a lawyer, and so he was very skillful and very precise in the use of language. When you read this passage, read this passage with that in mind, and not only is he a lawyer now, but he's no longer a lawyer formally for the Pharisees. He now is spirit-filled. And so God took that incredible legal mind of Paul, and of Paul the apostle, and now he is filled with the Spirit. So this is an unbeatable combination of scholarship and biblical spirituality. He follows God. He listens to God. He has suffered on behalf of God. He knew his pedigree. He knew how he could have lived, the life he could have chosen to live. He could have had a wonderful, easy, very wonderful lifestyle, an elite life. He could have lived that way. But he chose to follow Jesus. He picked up the cross to follow the Savior. Moses left the pleasures of Egypt, which were only for a season, in order to follow God. God chooses those who will give up the riches of this life, the cares of this world, the distractions of this world. He chooses those because he knows they will follow him faithfully. Remember what Paul said of Demas. Paul wrote, "The Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present age." There are those who follow Demas, and they are lured away by the attractions of this world. Please read the Pilgrim's Progress. Please read the unabridged Pilgrim's Progress. And please read also Jesus Freaks, another very important book. When you read these books and you absorb the material, these books will tell you some very important things about church history. The book of Acts is the first book of church history, and you should know it well. You should study it so that you can read about the progress of our faith. The last word in the book of Acts is the word unhinderedly. It is an adverb. It talks about the gospel. The gospel would not be hindered, though the human instruments fall, the eternal gospel goes on. The good news of Jesus goes on. You and I are part of this wonderful tradition. It is our duty to be faithful. It is our duty to absorb the Word of God, that we might live the Word of God, that we might teach the Word of God, not from an intellectual viewpoint, not to be mere theologians, not just for intellectual theories, but so that we can grow into spiritual maturity and in turn become fathers in the faith who help others who are growing up in the faith to reach spiritual maturity in Christ. We are all, according to Romans 8, to be conformed. Our destiny is to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. Not to the image of some theologian, some preacher, some singer. No, we are to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Remember that God purchased the church with his own blood. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. The blood of Jesus Christ has given us a new access to God. We can come for the throne of God through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Sing it all day. Sing it now. Sing it. Just inculcate those words in your mind. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Good evening. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Bless you, brothers and sisters.